A wonderful day when we all get to heaven. One songwriter said, what a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. So here today we sing and know and understand perhaps in part. One of these days we'll see Him as He is, be eternal as He is eternal, enjoy the bliss of eternal life forever with God. I hope every one of us tonight, I hope we have that desire. And along with that desire, I hope tonight that each one of us have an interest in it. Because as we go into the little thoughts like the Lord has given us tonight, part of it will entertain you and me having an interest in eternal life. It will go beyond just the knowledge of a certain thing or two, but for you and me to enter into what God has provided for His church and even for all of mankind. I'd like for us to think about and perhaps study somewhat of the Word of God tonight concerning the law of liberty, and in particular, our responsibility to the law of liberty and what it benefits you and me, and how it can be ours in a way that enhances us not only in everyday life, but enhances us that we might have that sweet fellowship, sweet communion, that freedom and that openness before the Father. There's a scripture that we maybe would begin with tonight. It's found over in James. It mentions the law of liberty. Gave us some thoughts, and Lord help us tonight to be able to express God's will, God's desire, God's plan. I don't believe any preacher ever got up and preached everything there was about the Bible in one sermon. I don't believe any minister ever stood before people in an hour, 2 hours, or three or four. I've heard of people preaching that long, and expounded totally what one subject might bring in. But I'd like for us tonight to have, God would have us tonight, have created within us a great yearning and a great love for the liberty and the freedom that God has extended to us, and that we get an idea, that we get our eyes, that we get focused on what He means when He has a law of liberty, what He means when He speaks about setting us free, and what indeed is God's law of liberty tonight. Over in James, the first chapter, in the 25th verse, He said this to us, "But whosoever," or "whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds." We'll start with the last and bring it out first. I suppose tonight we all like to be blessed. We all like to be happy. We all like to feel that God approves of us and that we have right standing with God. We like to be blessed by one another. We like to feel that our sins are forgiven and that you and I have freedom in Zion. Well, He said to us that there is a perfect law of liberty, but He invites us here in this verse to look into it. Have you ever looked upon something from a distance and then passed it by, and you recognize real quick that I just saw it, but as far as it actually coming into me, or me being a part of it, or it becoming a part of me, that won't happen because I passed it on by. But God invites you and me to investigate. He invites us to come and inquire. He comes and asks us tonight and every day of our life to look into His love, to look into His law, to inquire as to what the Lord has to say to you and to me. What does the Lord have for us? What is available to us? What is His law of liberty? What does liberty mean? What does freedom mean? He says to every one of us, if you and I will be diligent, if you and I will take the time, if you and I will hunger, if you and I will put forth the effort to go beyond just hearing, go beyond just thinking a little bit about it, but actually to look into the matter, actually to inquire into what thus saith the law or the word of God. So he said, whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and then let that become a dwelling place, let that be a point of our continuing on in Him, not just a hearer for the moment and being forgetful and going back to our way, but having a hunger, having a desire, having an anticipation, if you will, having a zeal, having a desire, that no longer do I just want to hear, but I want to continue in this. Yes. Being a person that looks in to what God has for us. A lot of times we listen to what the devil says God has for us. A lot of times we listen to the gainsayer. We listen to the negative person. We listen to the person that maybe is not as spiritual as they could be, and they present it in a wrong fashion. May God help us tonight to have a heart's desire, a hunger for our own selves, for our own eternity's sake, for love's sake, for our own peace, for our home, for our own soul. Not only to just want to hear about it and take hearsay evidence about it, but to look in, to inquire. I want to go into your tabernacle, Lord, and I want to understand what thus saith the word of God. What do you have for your children? What's available for those that love you? If I give up all, Lord, and follow you, what will I have? What will I inherit? Today, tonight, may God help us to have a great desire for liberty. Simply put, freedom. Simply put, freedom. May God help us tonight to have a desire to look into it. And to continue in it. And he said, that man, that person, that young man, that young lady, that home, that family, that congregation, those who inquire and hunger and thirst, they'll be filled. And they will be blessed in their deeds or in their doings. Tonight, do you want to be blessed? God's got a prescription for it. God's got a way for you to be blessed. God's got a way for us to be free. I'd like for us to go now over into 2 Corinthians as we perhaps investigate this a little bit tonight, because liberty always comes at a price. I don't suppose any man or woman has ever said, I like bondage. I like fear. That's just a great place to live. You know, I think people who hold grudges and people who are angry all the time, people who have envy and evil surmising, I think if you just get right down to it and say, are you happy? They'd probably say, well, no. Are you enjoying freedom? And perhaps they could mumble something like yes, but when it came right down to it, you can't enjoy freedom when you're in bondage. You can't enjoy freedom when you're in a prison. You can't enjoy freedom when you're out of the ark of safety. You really can't enjoy that, because the freedom and the perfect law of liberty only comes via one route, and that's God. We can search the world over. We can look at all avenues. We can come up with all kinds of ideas. But you know what will happen? It'll always bring us back that God is the only source. Every other source will come to naught and leave us unfulfilled. 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, and the 15th verse we'll begin. Speaking about the law, and maybe we won't rehearse all of this, but I want to get down to a thought tonight, because I want liberty. I want to be free. I want to be able to worship God. I want to have His blessings on my life. I want to understand what it means to be free indeed. I want to know what it means to be out of bondage. Don't you? To know that, we also have to have a desire to know from whence cometh our help. Where is that mountain of the Lord? Where is that place? What is the source? Where is that fountain? Where is that river? How do I acquire that we hear about on Sundays, that we hear about on Wednesday night? When we hear the brother get up and testify what he found, what's the source of that? Where does it come from? Is it something we just pull out of the air? Is it something we go and plug in a receptacle somewhere? Or does it have a real, dynamic, living source that will come and abide with you and abide with me and take up its abode within? Then the freedom is not external, but the freedom becomes something that's living,
amen,
alive, with potential, with power, with a joy that you and I enjoy living there. And we abhor anything that would come and try to devise a way to take away our freedom or to impose its will upon us, because I have tasted of freedom, the songwriter said. I can go where it leads me. Sin shackles hold me no more. And we don't want to go back to those places, and we don't want to go back to the sorrow or the angers or the situations that life has incorporated with us. Well, he said to us tonight in 2 Corinthians 3 and 15, maybe down through the 17th verse, but even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. As I said, we won't try to explain all of this. Let's go on, though. Nevertheless, when men and women who have a veil of doubt, a veil of fear, he was speaking primarily of the law. We understand that tonight. When Israel will do something, when Israel will turn, when you and I will begin to inquire, those things that cloud us, those things that hinder us, those things that cause us to be afraid, those things that block the image of the Lord in our life from us seeing the glory of the Lord. He said, nevertheless, when Israel, or when it, or when the people, or when you, or when I shall turn, when we begin to look, when we begin to behold the face and the Spirit and the Word of God, when we go beyond just being forgetful hearers, nonchalant hearers, when we go and tune our hearts, tune our minds with a keen interest, I want this liberty. I want this freedom. I don't want sin shackles to hold me anymore. I want to go where the Lord leads. I want to be led by the quiet path. I want to be led in the paths of righteousness. I want to know that feeling and that joy within that I'm free. Well, he said to you and me that if we will begin to turn, if we will begin to look, nevertheless, when it shall turn, when Israel, when you, when me, when a man or a woman will turn to the Lord, Jesus Christ, our Savior, the veil shall be taken away. A promise. A promise. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. Begin to understand now that this that I seek after, it begins to identify where to look. Where are you looking tonight? Where is your interest tonight? Where are your desires? All this comes into play. You can want salvation, but you got to hunger after it. You've got to thirst after it. You've got to have a burning desire for it. You've got to see the value of it, the potential of it. You've got to see the blessings that come from God Almighty. You've got to go beyond just the feel-good feeling, and you've got to look into what's best, what's right. We've got to count cost. We've got to put some things on the scales. We've got to balance some things out. We've got to weigh where my life and the consequences of it will cause me to end up as compared to what the Lord has. It's not just being a casual hearer. It's not just saying, I go to camp meeting and I'm a member of the quote-unquote Church of God. But it's a man and a woman who begins to turn their affections, their thoughts, their minds, their reasoning over to Him and His promises and what thus saith the Word of the Lord, and begin to reason with God and say, Lord, is it so? How do I attain this? We begin to behold His beauty, His glory, His majesty, His eternal Godhead. We see Him high and lifted up. We hear, come unto me all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. We hear Him say, if I be lifted up, speaking about a cross, He loved us so much. You mean, now wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm seeking after liberty. And I'm looking for the help that I need, the place to look. And I see the promise that says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. And I think, he must love me. He must really care. And it whets my appetite. Doesn't it yours to find out about this King of Love then? So he said, if we begin to turn to him, those clouds, those cobwebs, those things that are hindering you tonight, you know what it said? They'll be taken away. That veil that the Jews were behind on because of the law and the guilt of knowing that they never could perform the doing of the law, so much was their desire, yet they had to behold Moses with a veil over his face because of the glory of God. But he tells us that you and I now can behold the glory of the only begotten of the Father without a veil, with an open face, him before us and us before him, following him, walking with him, having freedom from the veils of sin, the veils of regret, for having to say, hide my eyes from him. Or that veil that the judgment will cause many men to want to call down on them, the rocks and the hills and the mountains, to no avail. We have a great liberty tonight, that opportunity that you and I can stand before him without sin, without guilt, without condemnation. And now, but we all with open face, when we turn to him and begin to look into the perfect law of liberty, when we begin to go beyond ourselves, when we begin to lay down our life and begin to study and to inquire into the book, into the teachings. And he's promised us, he said, in where the Spirit of the Lord is, where that very essence of God is, where it dwells, there's liberty. Did he not say, and you shall go in and out and find pasture? Did he not promise us the freedom that we all desire? Tonight, are we interested enough to look into it? Are we willing to just stop the onward rush of time and say, wait a minute, there's something more important than what I've got. There's something more important than me tagging along with a sinful world. I want to stop this thing, and I'm going to start looking for liberty. I'm tired of being in bondage. I'm tired of being afraid. I'm tired of being angry. I'm tired of hating. I'm tired of those lusts of the flesh that incorporated themselves in me and bind me. I want to be free from the anxiety of life. So he said, when we turn to him. Oh, tonight, God help us to point you to Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I suppose everything that we can think of had a means of getting to us. The fan, air, glass of water, crayons, speaker, you, podium, microphone. It all came some way. It didn't just appear. It didn't just happen. Wishing for a good, nice, cool glass of water, you know, I could wish till I'm green and there'd be no water there. Everything that we have in life came to us. We earned it. We spent money on it. Someone gave it to us. Someone constructed it. It had a vehicle by which it came to us. We could be in a room full of air and oxygen, but if we don't inhale, we have to put forth effort. We have to. So I want to think a little now about this freedom and how it came, where it came from. And maybe it will inspire us to begin to look that way and to look in that direction. He said over in John 8 and 32, said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now he's incorporated in my mind another word along with freedom. He's told me that as I look as I inquire, as I ask, as I seek, as I turn my eyes, that I'll begin to understand Jesus Christ. And he said, as I do that, truth will come to me. Light, if you will come to me. Understanding will come to me. That I'll be able to see, that I'll be able to understand the differences of darkness and light. Child, I love you so much. You see my hand? That's for you. You see my feet, my side, my brow? You see the stripes? It's for you, my child, because I want you to be free. And I came to you. I came to you with the glory of the only begotten of the Father. And I want to tell you tonight, I want to tell you this morning, I want to tell you as I speak to you, the Lord says, that you can behold me. You can behold me with an open face. You don't have to have that veil of fear or doubt, that old condemnation or that guilt any longer. I want to tell you tonight, he says, or this morning, as he speaks to you, you can be free. Because I love you, and I want you to be where I am, not only 50 years or eternity from now, but I want you to be with me right now. I want you to go through life with your head held up. I want you to go through life with a smile. I want you to love your husband. I want you to love your wife. I want you to love your children. I want you to forget that hurt. I want you to forget that one that treated you shabbily. I want you to go out and repay that pledge that plagues you because you know you owe it. I want to go with you into all the hard places. I want to go with you and unlock all those doors that the devil shut. I want to go into all those dry places and I want to bring the oil of joy. I want to come into all those hungry places, and I want to feed you with my spirit. Oh, listen, he said, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man will open, I'll come in and I'll sup with him. You know what else he does? I thought of this lately, not a while back. He brings the food. You know, he does not expect us to have to cook the meal. He brings with him. He's the bread of life. He is the living word. He is that fountain of living water. And he comes to dwell and reign and give us freedom, glorious freedom tonight. But he said, you got to look. You got to inquire. You got to open. You've got to allow me liberty. Maybe tonight we have at least said this much, that there is liberty and it has a means by which it comes to us. It came by Jesus Christ. It comes by Jesus Christ. He was the brightness of God's glory. He was the expressed image of God. He is the expressed image of God. One asked him, said, show us the Father, and it will suffice us. You know, sometimes we want proof of this, and we want proof of that. We want someone to say, you proof. Listen. He said, if you've been so long with me and you haven't seen the Father, oh, tonight, God, help us to stop what we're doing and look on Jesus. You want freedom. You want to see love. You want to see joy. You want to see peace. You want to see the Father? Look on Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, but listen, we get in such a hurry sometimes in life. And we get so afraid sometimes in life. And we listen to the wrong sources so many times in life. You know where the worst source is? It's us. It's you. It's me. It's our own fears and our own prejudices. Oh, they hold us back. They hold us back. You know, sometimes we wonder why there's not more of this in the church or more than that in the church. It's because nobody will do it. And why do people not do it? Well, I know there's various reasons. Sometimes they're afraid. What is fear? Fear is a prison. Fear of people. Fear of what someone will say. Isn't that some type of dungeon that men creep into? Excuses is a prison. And they say, oh, I can't do it because of so-and-so. I want to tell you something about excuses, dear ones. You be careful of them. You run from excuses. You abhor them things. Because it teaches me in the Bible that there was three different fellows at least that made excuses. One had a wife, one had some land, and one had some oxen. And they said, we got to prove them, I got to comfort them, or I got to go see the land. And their excuses caused them to be excluded from what the Lord had planned for them. You want to come out of those excuses tonight? Praise God, you can. Begin to look to Him. You know what else we can do? As we begin to allow Him to unlock those places, to go in those places, I'll tell you something else we ought to do. We ought to bring those places to Him. You confess your sins. May I say, if we confess our needs tonight, our fears, our prayers, Lord, I'm shackled by this thing. I want to run. I want to leap. I don't mean necessarily physically. I want to run and not be weary. But Lord, every time I get to running, I get to dragging my right leg because there's a big old ball and chain called something, and you put your name on it tonight. You put the thing that's holding you back tonight. So now, he says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's a thing called freedom. There's this thing called liberty. Let's go on. 1 John now. Let's consider something. 1 John 4, 1 chapter, 4th and 5th verse. These things we write unto you, that your joy may be full. Well, now wait a minute. If we're going to accept God's word as truth tonight, if we're going to say that God is beyond error, and God is beyond deceit, or deceiving us, we've got to give some thought here to what he said. And then we've got to think, well, how do I measure up? A lot of times we say, how do I measure up on my clothing? How do I measure up on my apparel? How do I measure up in my home? How do you measure up tonight in joy? You see, joy is a promise from God. In another place, Jesus wants our joy to be full. Here, he says it the same way, that your joy may be full. I've come that you have life and you have it more abundant. What about your life tonight? I don't believe tonight. I know there's hardships. I know there's sorrows. I know there's pain. I know that. But you know, I don't believe salvation came to us to be a drudgery, to be a cross that we had to wear that would take away our joy. One songwriter said, with thy blessings, pain is pleasure. What a statement. What a thought. And yet we're afraid sometimes of pain. We're afraid of the cross. May God help us tonight to recognize now some promises here. A promise that your joy may be full. Now wait a minute. That's not a full glass of water. It'll hold some more. What about your life? Is your life full tonight? God has promised that our joy can be full. All right, what am I going to do? I'm going to start looking to him and saying, Lord, why isn't mine? What is there in my life that's holding me back? What's preventing me? What is binding me? And then he went on and he said, this then is the message which we have heard and declare unto you, that God is light, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. You know, it's one thing to maybe just say in him is no darkness, but he kind of added a little superlative a little bit to it. He said, there's no darkness at all. Absolutely zero darkness or sin or any way that would bind us or hinder us. In no way, looking to the Lord, will we find light that directs us to a prison house or to subservience to the devil.
That's right.
Or to fear. He hasn't given us the spirit of fear. Or to evil surmising. Or to backbiting. Or to anger. Or to jealousy. Or to pride, or to any of those things, that inferiority that we have that the devil just takes hold to and binds us to where we're never satisfied. We're always wanting to do something, but never able to come to that place of exercise. I want to say God's light. In him is no darkness. He's light. And he never leads us to those places. So now we have a promise here, that our joy can be full. May I say also that as darkness creeps in, it hinders our liberty. If tonight, let's just say I started reading it, John, the first verse. It has someone back there with a rheostat on all the lights. And as I read, reading fast as hard as I can, that person gradually starts turning down the lights. What's going to happen to my ability to read and the liberty I have and the eyesight that I have, my ability to read to you what the Word of God said, is going to be diminished. As you and I, he said, the entrance of thy word giveth life. As you and I begin to let darkness creep in, it begins to take away from our freedom. Not only would it take away from my ability to read, it would take away from my ability to take off running and hit those 3 steps or 2 steps and go right on out the building. I'd walk up here candidly, real carefully, real shaky, and I'd start feeling around and I'd be frightened. You know, a lot of times in life, Satan has mankind traveling by freedom, feelings. And what is that? It's as darkness starts to come in on us. It begins to cause fear. And it begins to imprison. Have you ever been in a totally dark place? Lay down in a cave. And they always turn the lights out on you in the bottom of a cave. So maybe you've been there. Have you ever felt darkness? Have you ever felt it just close down on you? Maybe you have. I have. And you could, your emotions are running so wild, you can feel that prison of darkness. Tonight, maybe you have that prison of darkness. That prison that, you know, it's not right, but yet you've been engulfed by it, and you've been imprisoned by it. The Lord is that Spirit. And when you and I turn our hearts toward Him, where His Spirit is, light breaks at last. Glorious freedom comes in, and we begin to rejoice, and we begin to be able then to be the man that we know we want to be to please God. So He said to us, in Him is no darkness whatsoever. John 16, in 16th chapter of John, in the 7th verse. I know some of this is maybe academic, some of it is something you maybe already know, but do you know it in your heart? Have you received it in your heart? Have you taken this little book and eaten the book? Has it become nourishment to you? Has it become light to you? Has it become a guide to you? Has it become a strength to you? Yeah, you know it. Yes, you've heard it. Yes, you can quote it. But have you eaten it? Have you partaken of it? Has the essence of it, has the life-giving force of it saturated your being and cast out the darkness of fears and the darkness of imprisonment, and you're enjoying the glorious freedom of the liberty of Jesus Christ and His Spirit within you? Over in John 16, the 7th verse, 16 and 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. We're going on a little further now into freedom. We're going to go another step into, you know, one book written by Brown, I believe, said How I Got Faith. Well, where does this freedom come from? We begin to see we need to turn our eyes toward the Lord. We need to understand and see that His Spirit brings freedom. His truth brings freedom. That His Word is truth. Now listen to what He said here. It's very, very critical for you and me to understand, and I believe this, that we need to understand from whence cometh our help. As we look to the mountain, we need to look and see that that mountain of God has the ability to fully, thoroughly furnish us to every good work. And that you and I would not come behind in any good thing, but that we might be thoroughly furnished, thoroughly proficient, able to ward off the blows of Satan, able to go out and profess a good profession among all men, able to go out and let the light of the gospel radiate from us, that it not have to be pulled from us or tugged from us, but that we can open-facedly say, I've seen the Lord, I've seen the Lord, I've been with the Lord, and He's given me His freedom. Now I can go where He leads me. Sin's shackles, they high hold me no more. Oh, I've tasted of that. If you, God help us tonight to understand now some things about God and the availability of it, and not be a forgetful here, but to be a hungry here. He said in John 16 and 7, now nevertheless I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. Speaking of the Holy Ghost, speaking of the Holy Spirit, speaking of that one that He spoke of in another place, and He said, out of your bellies shall flow rivers of living water. This is what He wants within us, flowing out of us, the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of life, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of truth, the Comforter, the very, very one who is Jesus Christ, the Father, come back to abide and dwell within us, opening the prison house doors. Now listen to what he said down in the 12th verse through perhaps the 15th. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Remember what this truth is doing. I know it has many offices, but remember one thing this truth is doing. It's setting us free. This truth that is coming by Christ, this truth that is coming by the Holy Ghost, it has a purpose, see? It's not indiscriminately just casting out truth. It's casting it out purposely. It's casting it out with an expectation. Did not he say, expecting till the earth, till sin, till the dominions of Satan be made his footstool? Having an expectation that you and I become more than a conqueror through him that loved us. That you and I rise above the assault of life, the assault of sin, the assault of the devil, the assault of our own flesh. That you and I have the power within us from the very Spirit of truth, the light of God living within us, dwelling in us, till we can make these things also our footstool by the power and the grace of God that wants to come and abide in us. But are we looking there? Are we dwelling there? Or are we happy tonight succumbing? Are we happy tonight repenting and repenting and repenting? Are we happy tonight going to our husband, going to our wife and saying, will you forgive me another time? Are we happy tonight allowing the disappointments of life to enslave us a little deeper every time we succumb to it? Listen to what he said here. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into that which sets you free. Listen to what he said. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you all things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, or of Christ, or of God, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. It's a couple of thoughts we want to pick up here now. He shall glorify me. There's an element of truth. There's an element about truth. There's an element about this freedom now that comes by Jesus Christ, that comes via the Holy Ghost, that comes via the Word of God. Then the truth that sets us into this area we call liberty and freedom, it always has a hallmark characteristic. And it always, without reservation, without any question about it, it always glorifies God. It never glorifies self. It never glorifies anything of the works of the enemy. It never glorifies anything that is not of God. Now, I want you to get a hold of this. We'll touch on it maybe later, shortly. But he begins to tell us now, this truth has this hallmark quality, that as it begins to work in your life, as it begins to set you and me free, it will begin to glorify him that gave it. Do you know tonight that we are to do all to the glory of God? Do you know tonight that everything we think, everything we say, everything that governs us is to be to the glory of God? It helps us to look at ourselves and see if there are influences or things or mannerisms or opinions or prejudice or things about us that we have to struggle with that do not bring glory to God. He said this freedom that comes via Jesus Christ from the truth and the Holy Ghost will always glorify God, always glorify me. Let's remember that, because that's very important to us tonight. And I think we can ask ourselves a question. Am I glorifying God with my life? When I say to someone that's in trouble, well, look on me. God has blessed me in that area, and I can show you the way out the way Christ showed me the way out. And then he says something here that I got happy about in my little simple way. He said in the 15th verse, all things that the Father hath are mine. Well, I got to thinking about that. Now, Christ is coming to us in the fullness of the Godhead. Everything that God is, everything God has, is Christ, belongs to Christ also. He has total access to it, and he can give it us to us. He can furnish us with all things. Listen to a couple of scriptures I jotted down here. Paul said to the Corinthians, he said, all things are yours. Now remember, Christ said that all things that the Father hath are mine. It ties to my mind that freedom opens up to us, truth opens up to us, the total resources of God in our life. Now he said to us, Paul did, all things are yours. Tonight, if there's a want, if there's a need, the resources of the Godhead are for you. The resources of truth and of freedom, the resources of Christ and the Spirit and the Word, they're there available to us. He has opened up the treasures and the storehouse of God and said, here, come and dine. I stand at the door and I knock. Will you open to me and I'll bring in this delicious meal for you. Tonight, let us open our hearts up and our minds up to God. And then he said in 2 Peter, he said that our God has given us all things. Now, all things are yours. God has given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. Let's go on with one more scripture. Scripture that sometimes is used another way, but listen to what he said. All things, Romans 8:28. All things work together for good. Now some people said every time I get hit by a car, that's going to work to my good. Okay, I sure hope it does. But I like to take it another step. That everything God is, you look up this little phrase, all things. It's quite a few times in the New Testament. And in most of the time, it's referred, how shall he not freely with him also freely give us all things? It all things to me says the storehouse of God. Now, he said all things that God is works together for our good. So may the Lord help us tonight as we begin to want freedom. Freedom's available. Freedom is something that belongs to you. It's my birthright. It's your birthright tonight to be set free. I want to talk a little tonight about responsibility. Freedom without responsibility is not what God had in mind. Remember I said something about this freedom that God gives us and this truth, it will always glorify God. That'll be a hallmark of it. It's not for you to go selfishly wandering through life doing what you want to do when you want to. Listen to what he said in Isaiah 61. Christ, I believe, also quotes this in Luke. Spirit of the Lord, God, is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings. You know, we could just go through here and underline some real sweet things. Preach good tidings. Excuse me. To preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Freedom, 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 liberty, liberty, promise after promise. All things are yours, given us all things that pertain to life, to godliness. The truth shall set you free when we look to him. The Lord is that Spirit, and where his Spirit is, there is liberty. And the perfect law of liberty is available to the men who will look into it and be continuing in it, and they will be blessed in their deeds. Then he said, freedom here. I'm promising you, I'm coming with that freedom to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Freedom. You know, probably wherever you are in life or will be or have been in life, in a prison or in a difficulty, we'll probably find it somewhere in this. To appoint unto them that are mourning in Zion, to give beauty for ashes. That's a blessing, isn't it? to give beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Sometimes it seems like an old pall comes down over a person. Just wet blanket, old wet wool blanket, and itchy and scratchy and very, very hot. Listen to what else he said. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That's beautiful. And tonight it's true. And tonight it's real. Tonight, if we look to him, we can have this. To him tonight, if we will look, we'll find ourselves free indeed, enjoying what he came to give us. Why? We'll go back to that little hallmark now. That they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that the Lord might be glorified. Freedom glorifies God. Everything we do, saints, everything we do, dear ones, every word we speak, every thought we have, every business transaction should glorify our Father which is in heaven. The attitudes, our liberty then, should also and must glorify the Lord. He wants you, he wants me, to be a life-giving tree. He said, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Great warning to those who refuse, in that same chapter, who refuse to bear fruit. Tonight, he said that he gives us this. He gives us this liberty. He gives us this freedom, that he himself might be glorified. When men and women can look on the lives of a saved individual and say, that's the Lord's doing. That's something God has done. Look what God did. I remember him. I remember her. I remember the life. I remember the lies. I remember the fear. I remember the torment. In the Spirit of God, anointed with the truth of God, anointed with an understanding of God, continually walking in this as we keep our eyes on him. But we see Jesus. We keep our eyes on him and we behold him and we take him into our life. We experience him for ourselves. And what does it do? Not only does it set us free, but then fruit begins to come out of our life. Forgiveness, joy, peace, meekness, gentleness, temperance, etc. They begin to grow. They begin to be evident in our life. The liberty to express ourselves, the words of our testimony, begins to say glory to God and praise unto his holy name. Remember this. Freedom will never exalt anything but God. It never will. Freedom will never exalt man. It will never demonstrate the ability of man. It will always bring praise and homage and honor to the one who gave it, Jesus Christ. It will be honor to him and to him alone. If you and I are exuberant in the Spirit, that's great. But it'll bring glory to God if it's of him. If you and I have victory over depression, it'll bring glory to God. Yes. We can't go back to say to a man or to a woman, they gave that to me. No, the freedom that God has always brings glory to his holiness, to his power, to his righteousness, to his truth that has come to abide within us. So freedom. Freedom comes then with a responsibility. It comes with a responsibility that I am to use it to glorify God with my life. Read with me over in Galatians a moment. Galatians, the 5th chapter. And listen to what Paul wrote. Another part of responsibility. I'm free. The Lord has saved me. And you know what the flesh would like to do with that? Take away all government. Take away all authority. And make you or make myself a little island of authority, our own captain, our own boss, and our own guide. But listen to what he said here. You see, Satan would love to corrupt freedom. Yeah. Listen to what Paul wrote to the folks there. 5 and 13 of Galatians. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. It's a serious warning here Paul inserted in his letter. And God put it there, and he gave it to you and me. He said that we are not to use the liberty
as an excuse to live in the flesh. Is that possible? Is that possible to say, no man can tell me what to do? I get my orders from God. The Lord is my authority. We need to be real careful here.
Yes.
Don't tell you about the most deceitful thing besides Satan there is. And that's S-E-L-F. Self. You, me, our own selves. We have appetites that will bind us and hold us and restrict us. And when we think we're getting free of them, sometimes if we're not really free, they will deceive us and make us be able or think we're able to go and do things that's quite unseemly. Be careful with this little phrase, I have a right. That is a very damaging phrase. And the world will put that on you, young people, that you've got a right. You've got a right to this. You've got an opportunity, and it's your right, your privilege. But the Bible says, part of my responsibility to liberty is not to use it for an occasion of the flesh. Now, let's go on a little bit. 16th verse. This I say then, as we begin to learn truth, as we begin to learn and look and continue, he said, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So my responsibility is to continue in the spirit of liberty, in this law of liberty. My obligation is not to be just a hearer, but to recognize I am to bring forth fruit that glorifies God. That everything of truth, everything of liberty comes from God, and it will always glorify Him. Jesus said that. And then He also told us that the tree that we become are to become trees of righteousness that the Lord might be glorified. Now, He tells us to begin to walk in that spirit, continue in that spirit, and you shall not fulfill those dangerous, lustful things of the flesh. 17th verse, for the flesh lusteth after the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Interesting phrase. When we think of liberty, we think of, wow, do anything I want to. Be careful. You can do anything God wants you to do. And everything God wants us to do is pure, and it's holy, and it's righteous. And it'll bring glory to His name. We've got that right. We've got the liberty of being free from sin, free from condemnation, free from guilt, free to be able to behold Him unashamed, free to be able to say, even so, come Lord Jesus, free to be free of the shackles and have the liberty to be free of the shackles that hold us and restrict us. We're free to praise God, to glorify God, to worship God. We're free to come boldly to the throne of grace. Listen to what he said. But we cannot do the things that you would. You look up sometimes things in the Greek and it helps us out a little bit. And this word that Paul or the English translators put in here, the word would, you look that up in the Greek and you know what they'll tell you? The translator, Strong, some of those other fellows, they'll say that there's no certain English translation for that. Best they can come up with, or what we can say is, that you walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that you and I don't want to walk contrary to the things of the Lord, because we can't just do whatsoever the flesh wants us to do. Maybe that would be a way of saying it. That we can't do just whatever we want to do. The flesh wants to do. Those that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust thereof. Truth led us to the cross. Truth and freedom said, you go and you be crucified with Christ. Then you'll begin to live. And the life you live will not be your own anymore, but it'll be the life of Jesus Christ, bringing glory and praise and honor and joy to His name. You see, it all comes a full circle. It all comes to a place that God not only wants to give us freedom, promised us freedom, died for freedom, brought freedom to us, exploded freedom into our vision that we may see it and behold it and have it. We can handle it. We can touch it. We can observe it, possess it. But also He wants us to walk in it. He wants us to possess it. He wants us to demonstrate it in a godly way, in the way He has for it. So He says, you cannot do just whatsoever you want to do. Don't take this liberty and say, you can't tell me, God can't tell me, I'm free. No, when we were saved, we were bought with a price. When we belong to God, we're God's property. We belong to Him. He has nothing but good, nothing but joy, nothing but peace, nothing but eternal life for us. But there's responsibility that comes with it. It is a responsibility no longer to live to ourselves. It's a responsibility now to live to the author of my salvation, to the one who brought down peace from God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who gave me an entrance to the throne of grace, the one who died and sacrificed and shed His blood that I, that you might be free. We owe a debt now. We are His property. But oh, praise God that we can be. Let's rejoice in that, because that's part of our liberty. Now we're free from the bondage of sin. And we cannot do the things that we would. The things of the carnal appetite. Our victory comes through the Holy Ghost and the Word of God and the light of God. There's a song in our book, I said, I believe it says something to the effect, there's a light guiding me. You know what that light will do with us? That light will teach us discipline. That light will teach us to give ourselves, as Paul maybe was alluding to, a punch under the eye. That light will cause you and me to recognize one of the fruits that I have to exhibit as a child of God is temperance, self-discipline, bringing my body under subjection. Paul said that. We're no less than Paul, or no greater than Paul. Tonight, we need to understand that part of that fruit that comes on that tree of righteousness is the discipline of the Holy Ghost. The discipline of having looked into the perfect law of liberty, hid it, eaten it, taken it, and continuing in it, and letting it be the discipline of our life. Liberty, have you ever thought about it as being a discipline of your life? It's meant to be, really. The perfect law of liberty is meant to discipline you in such a way that it brings joy to you, that it brings healing to you, that it brings freedom to you, and that it also brings glory to God. And that it will present you without spot and without blame before the very throne of grace. And that a great entrance can be made unto you into the everlasting kingdom of God. That's what Christ wants to come and give us, that liberty. Not the paltry liberty of doing what I want to do. The paltry liberty of living in a country that you can vote. Oh, it goes so much further than that. Maybe one last scripture. Ephesians, the 3rd chapter. Listen to what he said. Liberty. It's a great subject, and I've probably done some injustices to it, but Lord, help us tonight. If you're in bondage, there's liberty. If there's something wrong and you just can't put it together, there's liberty. There's freedom. Listen to what Paul said he prayed and desired for the people in Ephesus. Let's read the third chapter in the 14th verse. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom the whole family in heaven and earth His name, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you may be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the width, the breadth, and length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth understanding, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. A few little highlights here. Paul said that Christ, truth, light, grace, that Jesus Christ in all His fullness may dwell in us. And Christ is the fullness of the Godhead. It's a deep story, and it's a deep message, not necessarily what I'm saying altogether, but the message of Christ is deep. It's a deep well. It's a place you can come and drink till you thirst no more. It goes beyond superficial things. It goes beyond just the ideology of man. It goes beyond just the little shallow experiences that some people or the devil would like to give man. I should say it that way. It goes beyond the shallowness of man's theology. This is the mystery of godliness. This is the mystery of love. This is the mystery of liberty. This is the freedom that God offers to us, that you and I may dwell in this place, that it may become our habitation, that all the freedom of God not be something out there that I just wish and hope and long for, but the very fullness of God dwell in us, dwell within you, dwell within me. Think about it. All things are yours. All things work together. Where do they work? They work within us. They work within the heart. They work within the mind. His graces become alive and working and furnishing. And they become dynamic and they have power and they have authority. And they reach out and touch areas in our life. And all of a sudden, there's fruit. All of a sudden, something's coming forth that's glorifying God. According to the power. According to that I allow to come in me. According to the release of myself. According as I die daily. According as I allow Jesus Christ to be risen in my heart, as I am crucified with Christ, according as I allow this power to come in me, it becomes vibrant and it becomes alive. Unto Him be glory. Another hallmark, one more time. Unto Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, through all ages, world without end. One more time. This freedom is meant to bring glory to God. It's truth, and it comes to set us free that you and I may gain glory to God. And whereabouts? In the church. Sister preached to us the other day about discerning the Lord's body. Oh Lord, help us tonight to know that the Lord's body is free. And it's free indeed. And it can worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Sin's shackles have been broken, and it holds the church no longer. And you and I, the church, can be filled with the fullness of God. The law of liberty can be lived out in us. The purpose of it, the responsibility of it, can be achieved in your life and in my life. We no longer have to go about ashamed or feeling as I just can't quite get there, or I can't quite measure to it. But I can have then the very fullness of God, of Christ, living in me, living in you, and always and forever. The hallmark of it, it will bring glory and honor and praise to the one who gave it. So tonight, let's look into the perfect law of liberty. Let's hunger after it. Let's thirst for it. Let's desire it. Let's want that freedom. Let's want to bring glory to the name of God. Let's desire that. Let's continue in it. And tonight, we want to offer it to you. I know it's been offered many times. But maybe there's someone that just never has quite accepted it. But it's for you tonight. So if there's a burden, if there's a prison, if there's a place that God needs to come in and open a door that you can begin to bring glory to His name through your life, through the liberty of God working in you, we want to give you tonight that opportunity. You pray for me.